Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosophers, dreamers, dreams, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Good morning, lurking conservatives. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. Look at that crowd, Riley. How are you, Riley?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, you know, I'm hearing an echo in my head, which isn't good. It makes me feel a little psychotic. But these people, thank you for coming down. There's literally only about 400 people here already. Hey, it's good to see Rich Two Bagels is back. You know, we were worried about you last week, Rich, and he was recovering from hernia surgery. I'm glad you're okay, buddy.
It's good to hear you back.
It's nice to see you. He came up. You know what I mean? Had I known that you were in the hospital, I wouldn't have made fun of you last week. But
yes, he would have.
Today, I don't care. All right, do you understand? It's nice to see you, man. So, look, we are down here. We are on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We've got a great show. We've got Kyan Douglas, the grooming guru of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. He's going to be here with us. Listen to me pandering to the local neighborhood. Listen to me shamelessly saying, hey, we got a gay guy on. Come on down, Chelsea.
Come on over, gay folks.
What is wrong with me?
Hey, but you know what?
What? What,
this
Riley?
Is a diverse neighborhood. It's not just gay people. It's not just straight people. It's not just white people. It's not just black people. You got all kinds of people in Chelsea. That's what makes Chelsea a great place.
Well, thank you. Hey, thank you, Walt Whitman. That was very beautiful.
No, that's Walt Blackman.
Walt Blackman. Hey, let me get a little business out of the way. Next week, we are going to be in Washington. We're going to be broadcasting live from the XM radio studios in Washington, D.C. next Friday at September 23rd. That's the day before the Green Fest and the big anti-war rally. We're going to have Cindy Sheehan live. And all right, Rich Q. Bagels back in true form. You're going to need tickets for this one, though, so go to morningsedition.com and enter to win a free pair of tickets. Now, Riley, I want to make people understand that this restaurant is beautiful. It's very mod.
Yeah.
It's very groovy. And it's got, what am I, 90? Listen to that way I'm talking. It's got the beautiful tiled walls. You're going to have coffee for everybody, a continental breakfast. Is that still happening? I heard about a continental breakfast. Is that, that's in the making? That's, the first, you know, continental breakfast, a donut, and maybe a roll
or
some
a
kind, a Danish perhaps.
Something like that.
Let's talk about important things. Hey, Brendan. Brendan just sat down like, let me clear up the continental breakfast issue. No. Let's talk about the speech last night, because I was able to TiVo it and watch it this morning. I found it kind of, you know, scary and weird that he's standing alone in front of a church and a statue of a sort of warrior like Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
Didn't you find the semiotics? Did you deconstruct the scene and read into it as much as I did?
Well, he's the war president.
No, is he still?
Yeah, he still is. I mean, look, this is, and I think the first thing you have to say about Bush's speech last night was...
It was terrible.
Too little, too late. This could have been done 2 weeks ago. You know, this should have been on the table. And you see, now you've got his own cronies in Congress saying, wait a minute, this is going to bust the budget between this and Iraq. What are we going to do? But then the smarter people in his little inner circle are looking at the polls and seeing that Americans want New Orleans rebuilt. That's the only reason why he went on TV last night and said what he said.
But I like the fact that he actually, and a lot of people might have missed this, within four paragraphs of his speech, he literally took responsibility in a way that I'd never heard him take responsibility before. He said, we have also witnessed a kind of desperation. I'm quoting the president. No citizen of this great and generous nation should ever have known. And I'll take the quote right here. Have him taking responsibility. He said, vulnerable people left at the mercy of criminals who had no mercy, which could be only his administration, I think. Don't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
I've never heard it so clearly put that the guy would be that honest.
By the way, you have the transcript there, right?
I do have the transcript right here.
This may take another 2 hours, but Rachel Maddow mentioned this earlier. There were apparently, I don't know how many references to God, to the Bible, to the kind of stuff that makes his Christian conservative base kind of say, oh, okay, well, he's still on the same page with us.
He also said, you know, we talked last week about how he has turned his back on any sort of bipartisan action, and the bipartisan action that he wanted to have really didn't give the Democrats any power at all to subpoena or take an active part like they would have wanted, so that's not happening. But he did order all cabinet secretaries to join in a comprehensive review of the government's faulty response, so he's going to investigate himself. which I think is, you know, come out under some criticism because we certainly can't trust him to do that. And also, he ordered the Department of Homeland Security to undertake an immediate review of emergency plans in every major city in America. Now, I'm not clear on this. I haven't believed this guy from day one, but isn't that what he was supposed to be doing for the last 5 years? I mean, isn't that the
one would think?
Wasn't that the entire thrust of his administration? Was that he was the security president that we were? I mean, I'll tell you, even Democrats, even Republicans, in light of what happened after Katrina, are sitting there going, "Well, is anybody safe? Is anybody safe? Has this guy done anything that he said he did? Anything, even to his own people?"
The answer is no. What has happened here is Bush's soft underbelly has been exposed. He's got incompetence in key areas of government, and the only good thing that may come out of this is a report in yesterday's papers that some of the incompetence, some of the political patronage appointees at FEMA are jumping ship because they're scared after Michael Brown left. They figure they may be next.
Yeah, well, now that what they're doing is instead of, gutting FEMA, which they've already done, and they've already gutted the Environmental Protection Agency, but now, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, I think they're going to give the Environmental Protection Agency a little more power to override any rules that might protect the health of Americans so they can do whatever the hell they want. This is an interesting story, and we're going to talk about a lot about the Environmental Protection Agency and how that's been abused and is going to be continued to be abused by this administration. But he also took time last night, Riley, to, of course, blame the hurricane.
Of course.
Faulting the government's response, Bush said Katrina, quote, was not a normal hurricane, and the normal disaster relief system was not equal to it, end quote. So, of course, and now we've finally gotten to the bottom of it. It's the hurricane's fault, Riley.
It is the hurricane's fault, not your normal hurricane.
And, you know, as I said yesterday, and I'd like to repeat it, like people like Pat Robertson, Chuck Colson, some of these religious leaders have said that basically the hurricane was God's way of saying that Americans aren't safe. And I'd like to take the logic a little further, and I don't think they will because they'll distract their logic with abortion and other issues. But I think if we take that logic a little further, we can honestly say that God is saying that George Bush is a bad president.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be a big jump. I'm not going to judge Christians if you want to believe this. I just think that you should look at the facts and just realize what we're seeing here is God's wrath, and God's wrath says that George Bush is incompetent. And I don't think there's any way other than that to interpret the situation.
Well, then that leads up to the following question. If George W. Bush is an incompetent, why does anybody think that he can successfully pursue the very ambitious agenda that he ran last night? Why does he have the horses? Why does he have the chops? Why does he have the ability to do any of the things that he's talking about, which really boils down to an almost a Marshall Plan for New Orleans? How are they going to do it? He doesn't have the people.
This is the new big government, George Bush.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that, you know, this is a guy that has wanted to gut the federal government entirely and privatize all of it, and now he's the big government president. You know, we didn't talk about this the other day, and it's kind of a weird conversation to have in terms of the way he's using charitable organizations. Because obviously because of faith-based initiatives, that he's putting a lot of weight on charitable organizations that, you know, operate at the behest of him. The ones that tow his party line have gotten the big bucks, and they're going to be the ones that are going to be involved in some of the, you know, reconstruction work. And he's encouraging people to donate, as graciously as much as possible to charities. Now, I read something by a liberal, by a progressive, Ted Rall, suggesting that, you know, by Americans, you know, donating to charities as much as possible, by him putting the responsibility on Americans to donate to charities, is that in any way, Riley, in your head, dismissing the responsibility of the government in this situation?
Well, he's obviously going to deny that, and based on the speech and all the initiatives the government says it's going to do. But what it does, and this is just below the surface, particularly with the faith-based people,
mm-hmm.
later today there's going to be a service of remembrance about Katrina that is going, the sermon is going to be delivered by none other than Bishop T.D. Jakes. Now, most of you may not know who he is, but he is the pastor, an African-American pastor of an extremely large church in Dallas, Texas, all right? You're talking double digits, five figures number in terms of number of members.
And seven-figure income.
And seven-figure income and big chunk of faith-based money. Now, some of that money, of course, is going to be channeled through Bishop Jakes and other people in the Houston area to help the people that are involved and are stuck at the Astrodome, although they supposedly are starting to empty that out a little bit. And what you see is a kind of synergy between faith-based initiatives, the charities, and the Bush administration. Because the people who are going to get this money are going to be people who, just like in terms of the contractors, are friendly to Bush.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a lot of things to investigate in the light of this this speech last night. We're going to talk a little bit about the EPA and how they're trying to, the House is trying to change standards within the EPA. We're going to talk about how the hell did ABC find three women to talk to in front of the Astrodome yesterday that actually spewed talking points for the president. I could not believe it. I want to get into that. We'll have that conversation. Also, I think we're going to talk a little bit about Social Security, as you mentioned, because the Republicans are giving up on that. It's a beautiful thing because, as you remember, George Bush was actually pushing Social Security as New Orleans flooded. It's 16 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio's Mornings Edition. We're coming to you live from the Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. Stay with us.
Morning's Edition.
Let's just wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
We got free coffee. We got muffins. We got prizes. Come on down and say hello. We've also got Kyan Douglas from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I'm going to shamelessly just say his name all day to get the neighborhood in. Is that all right? Is that wrong of me? I need to know if I'm a metrosexual. I need to know that from him. I need to be let off the hook because I think I've passed the phase. I've given up the faux hawk and the facial products.
Uh-oh.
All right. Let me just do a little business real quick. Join the Morning Sedition March on Washington. We're going to be down in Washington, D.C. next Friday, September 23rd. Yeah. Cindy Sheehan's going to be our guest down there. You'll need tickets. We're going to be at the XM Radio Studio, so go to MorningSedition.com to enter to win a free pair. In just a couple of minutes there, Riley, we're going to talk about the Republicans abandoning their privatization of Social Security idea. We're going to talk a little bit about some of these unemployment numbers that are coming out today after the aftermath of Katrina. I want to talk about the EPA a bit, because let me ask you something. Just, you know, maybe I'm unclear on this. Was the Environmental Protection Agency originally put in place to protect humans?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand what it was originally put in place for, and not that it was put in place to protect corporations and utility companies, but it was humans initially.
Well, I was going to say wildlife maybe a little.
Oh, a little of that too? Well, yeah. That's long gone.
Yeah,
people are a concern, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, people.
Okay.
Not corporations, people.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying, so thank God we have the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator here to, you know, to help us translate headlines. Let's feed it some. What do you say? Beautiful. Brendan P.W. McDonald on the intro. Here we go. From the Chicago Tribune, Pledge of Allegiance ruled unconstitutional. Pledge of Allegiance ruled unconstitutional. Translation, under God overruled. Nothing, huh? I think that one was a little too real. That one sounded a little real, didn't it? Sound like it could be. Here we go. Schwarzenegger from CNN. Schwarzenegger hints at re-election bid. Translation, another action star plans unwanted sequel. All right. From Reuters, Britney Spears gives birth to a baby boy. Britney Spears gives birth to a baby boy. Translation, young male recently sees pop star's genitalia. Details and photos. Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you. All right, now let's talk about this, Riley. I want to know, how did ABC News, immediately after the president speaks, I'm talking within seconds after he was done, find a black woman standing outside of the Astrodome and had her say, or how is it just coincidentally that she said, well, it's the mayor's and the governor's fault because those buses in that parking lot?
Because Bishop Jakes had his people down there around the Astrodome right after the speech, so everybody they could come in contact with would have the same opinion.
So it was a plant.
That's my
I would have to think so. Now, am I wrong in assuming that if someone like this Jakes guy, T.D. Jakes, is it wrong to assume that these people are giving out Republican talking points during their sermons?
I haven't been to one of their sermons. But if you watch them on TV, and there are a couple of cable channels where you can see these guys in action all the time. And if you watch what they say on some of those channels, absolutely they repeat the Bush talking.
I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready, I'm eating breakfast, I'm watching the thing on TV. I go in the other room, I hear this woman saying, well, it was Mayor Nagin's fault because of the buses in that parking lot. She referred to a picture that was being disseminated by the right to make some sort of case against the local government of New Orleans.
You know, the amazing thing about that picture and about the whole storm about Ray Nagin not using those buses is that he did use buses. He used the air-conditioned New Orleans Transit Authority buses, not school buses. Now, that makes sense in a city where the average heat and humidity is something like 90 and 90.
I was flabbergasted. I was amazed. I was upset at ABC because, you know, there's pre-production with that stuff. They had to find somebody to do that. And I guess it would be difficult. I mean, these people are in Houston on some level. They are guests of the state that created this, you know, antichrist of a president. So, you know, on some level, they're going to be afraid to just go, oh, that guy sucks. I mean, they've got to figure that they might be thrown out of that state, too.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They do it outside the Astrodome. One wonders what the reaction might have been inside the Astrodome. You know, it had people actually, and see, the other side of it is, somewhere at ABC, an editor made a decision. We don't know how many people might have said, it sucks.
Well, let's talk about this before we take another break. Republicans, out of fear of their own future and the future of their party, are pulling away, or should I say, rowing away from the president. Republican Committee Chairman Tom Reynolds said he would recommend to GOP leaders that they not proceed with Social Security because it doesn't seem like it will pass. No kidding.
Yeah.
So this is an amazing thing. This is I don't want to call it a victory for Democrats or for progressives or anything else, but it is encouraging that Republicans are waking up and starting to panic. I don't mind seeing Republicans panic. I don't mind seeing them worrying about their political future. I certainly don't mind if a lot of them lose midterm elections. I hope to God that the stink on Bush is so bad that it really it kind of the momentum just spreads, and in midterm elections we take back, you know, something, at least the House or one of them, Congress or the Senate. So we got the dog of the week coming back, and we got jobless numbers. Stay with us. It's 27 past the hour. Listening to Morning Tradition.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's 34 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Tradition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be here until 9 a.m. We got free coffee, some little donuts going around, some muffins and whatnot. So come on down and say hello. For more info on Elmo Restaurant, go to ElmoRestaurant.com. But man, it's filling up. And there's, can I say it again?
Hey, Mark,
free coffee.
Hey,
yes.
There's a guy right here who wants to speak to you.
Is it Ted from Nebraska?
No, actually, it's not. I've never seen this guy before. Sir, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Ed from Nebraska. You know, I listen to you guys. Once again, the liberal media is spinning the truth for their own narrow, misguided political agenda.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when this... Help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons. Hey, Mark the Shark is live here at Elmo. Hey, why don't you step right up and get into the shark tank and ask Mark the Shark a question? What do you want, loser?
Yo, Mark the Shark, how do you feel about Bush apologizing for the way the government responded to Hurricane Katrina?
Man? That wasn't an apology, smartass. That was President Bush assuming responsibility for the actions of... no one could have seen the... that's not it. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Twice as bad on the ground. Trent Lott's porch. Shut up. You want an apology? Your mother should apologize for giving you that face, ass face. All right, who's next? What do we got? We got a real question. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark the Shark, what do you think about the Democrats questioning John Roberts?
Hey, Supreme Court justices aren't there to waste time answering your stupid questions, Democrats.
Oh, I'm a Democrat. Here's a question for you, John Roberts. If we have a great big baby-killing party, would you come? We'll have some late-term abortions, some partial birth abortions, and then we'll throw some fetuses in a dumpster. Ha ha ha! And then we'll have a big orgy to make some more babies, which we'll kill. Oh, won't you come, please?
You want answers, Democrats? Here's all the answers you'll ever need. Is that clear enough for you? All right.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Yeah, that's right. That's the guy.
Yo, Mark the Shark, I'm a big fan. I used to listen to you back in Pocatello on KLAN, the Klan.
Oh, that's a great station, Patriot. Great station. Love that station. What's your question?
Yeah, the government weasels say it's going to take a long time to rebuild New Orleans. I say that's crap.
That's right, brother. It is crap. Let me tell you something. Mark the Shark's been buying up real estate down there. Target one, the French Quarter. French, France, gay, surrender monkeys, gay, Yves Saint Laurent, gay, Edith Piaf. Do I have to draw a picture for you, Antoine? That's right. We're going to knock down all that fruity French architecture, put up some good old American strip malls. Then all those lazy victims can come back to New Orleans from their government-paid vacation and work for me at the Mark the Shark Sharkporium Strip Mall. I'll pay you $4 an hour, which is $4 more than you're making now sitting on your ass and whining to Anderson Cooper. Sorry to rip you away from the government teat, refugee. Now grab a mop and get that toxic sludge out of here. Playtime is over. Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Are you okay, man?
Nah, man, I just came to, and I feel gross and dirty.
Do you remember anything of what you just said?
No, I just feel good. A little filthy. Did something happen?
You called somebody Antoine.
I did.
What was up with that?
I don't know, man. Well, I don't even know French. But maybe, was I speaking in tongues? That must have been it,
yeah.
Speaking in French tongues. Right now, it is time to, of course, we every Friday, we enjoy Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Well, Mark, you know, there were plenty of dogs to sift through this week. Mm-hmm. Let's start with some of those House Republicans who are already grousing about the amount of money to be spent on rebuilding New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. But then I guess we should be happy they found something to fight among themselves about. As for George W. Bush, he's too obvious, especially after Thursday's too little, too late speech. No, the dog is somebody we passed over last week. Deposed FEMA boss Michael Brown has been rightly and roundly criticized for his response to Katrina. This week, however, he gave what has to be the most self-serving interview ever by an ousted government official. According to Michael Brown, very little of what happened in Katrina's wake should be laid at his feet. He portrayed himself to the New York Times as a hard-working official, stymied by, surprise, the inaction of state officials, specifically Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco. He deflected criticism from his patron, George Bush. He also repeated over and over that he was unable to get a unified command established, whatever that means. I would think it means he couldn't do his job. As to why he didn't order an evacuation or call in federal troops sooner, his answer was, it's tough to communicate in a hurricane. Ooh. Michael Brown, hopefully this is the last we hear of you as a public official. Now you can crawl on all fours to your next six-figure gig. That's because you're the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, last week we talked to, regular listeners or no, we talked to a guy who's been at the Environmental Protection Agency for 35 years, and he just couldn't hold it back, and he had to speak up. Hugh Kaufman basically told us last week that whatever's going on down there in the floodwaters, whatever's going on down there in the city could take 10 years to clean up, and he was absolutely sure that there was a cover-up on behalf of the EPA to really tell people what was going on. And this is a very scary thing, because a report released by the EPA a couple days ago says that the floodwaters are dangerously toxic and a risk to human health. In samples drawn a little over a week ago, high levels of chemicals such as hexavalent chromium, arsenic, and lead. Now, hexavalent chromium, if some of you might remember, was at the base of the movie Aaron Brockovich. This is a dangerous chemical, and there's elevated levels of it in the water. Now, today, or yesterday, what happened? The EPA wants to relax rules for the cleanup.
Yep.
Republicans, you know, James Inhofe, is that how you pronounce his name? I always forget.
Inhofe.
He was the guy that converted to Christianity in the congressional restaurant. He is actually trying to...
That wasn't the congressional restroom?
No, not the restroom, the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was the restroom. I heard that's where John Ashcroft did a lot of that.
Well, yeah.
People were like kind of creeped out at first, but then they realized, oh no, it's just a Christian thing. It's, you know,
yeah.
But all right, but
you're going to hell.
That's
now.
Not saying anything bad about the gay people. It's just saying something bad about John Ashcroft. Don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Here we go. So now he wants to say that basically all EPA standards about, you know, the health and the danger of toxicity to humans in an area can be suspended. For 120 days, it's good to have the nice sounds of the street coming in. That's good.
Yeah, that's great.
Can be suspended for 120 days so people can come in and rebuild. But this is a trick, because a lot of people could find that window of opportunity and do a lot of damage. And also, it's disregarding the health of people that will be in that situation.
We here in New York have experience with what Hugh Kaufman was talking about. Hugh Kaufman, by the way, back right after September 11th, was in charge of trying to get the air cleaned up around Ground Zero. He was one of the people that sounded the alarm that, in fact, the air around Ground Zero was not as clean as his own EPA was telling us it was. So as New Yorkers, we ought to understand, if they'd lie to us, what would they do to the people of New Orleans in terms of whether or not it is in fact safe to go back? Now, the mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, wants to get people back into the city, and that's understandable. But I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't get near the city of New Orleans myself personally, nor would I let anybody in my family until a guy like Hugh Kaufman said it's safe.
Yeah, and this is the thing, is that Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, has said that business operations in the French Quarter and the Central Business District and a couple of the wealthier neighborhoods that were up on a hill would be allowed to return this weekend to start rebuilding their property, to start getting their lives together. But he also says that the pumping out of the water in New Orleans, and it's still 40% underwater, should be done by somewhere right near the beginning of October. But if we're to listen to Hugh Kaufman, and we're to see that if this new legislation or this new act in Congress goes through to suspend rules around how safe any place is after a catastrophe, just on a toxic level, if people start re-entering the city immediately, there could be real price to pay, like some of these people that we don't hear about who were working at 9/11, who have experienced in tremendous health difficulties, some of them even with cancer, and you don't hear about that anymore. And this is because the EPA has been pimped out by big business, and that's the bottom line.
Well, you know, there's another question that you don't hear about a great deal at all with regard to New Orleans. They're pumping out all this water. Where does anybody think it's going?
Right back into Lake Pontchartrain, I imagine.
Exactly. Right back into the water surrounding the city of New Orleans. Some of that water, by the way, has oil in it. Somebody lights a match somewhere out on a lake, and the next thing you know, New Orleans could be back up in flames again.
Combustible water, bad.
Yes, very bad.
Combustible water not supposed to burn. All right. Now, if you want to know just how bad the EPA has become, the agency once in charge of protecting people and the environment, as I said, has been completely pimped out by chemical and utility companies. But this story surprised me more than almost any other story I've read lately. After intense criticism from environmental groups citing pesticide tests that were performed on people who were unaware that they were guinea pigs, the EPA has released new rules that allows pesticide testing on humans that are unaware they're being used as guinea pigs. Did you hear me? They've released new rules saying we're going to change things that did this. One study by environmental groups was funded by the chemical industry to measure pesticide consumption of infants in low-income households in Florida, i.e., the EPA was pimped out by a chemical company to go ahead and use poor children who are underprivileged as guinea pigs for a chemical experiment. How is this possible? This is America, all right? The EPA's new rules clearly state, quote, we regard as unethical and would never conduct, support, require, or approve any study involving intentional exposure of pregnant women, infants, or children to pesticide. But within 30 pages of the rules of these rules, there's clear-cut exceptions that permits testing of abused or neglected children without permission from parents or guardian, permits ethically deficient, in quotes, human research if it is considered crucial to protect public health, permits more than minimal health risk to a subject if there is a direct benefit to the child being tested and the parent or guardian agree. Who decides that?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Ethically deficient?
What does that even mean? The EPA will also accept studies done overseas that are performed in countries that have minimal or no ethical standards for testing as long as tests are not done directly for the EPA. And also, they just admitted they are going to be using some of the research that was done in Auschwitz by a Dr. Mengele during World War II because under the current rules, that would be totally acceptable.
Wow. It is very, very scary. They've done this before, by the way. They were trying to do some pesticide testing and chemical testing in certain parts of the South, as a matter of fact, and giving people like small amounts of money to expose their kids to these toxic pesticides.
Man, you got to really not like your kids. All right, 46 past the hour, or that's not true. You know, that's taking advantage of people who are in a desperate situation that might not be able to have any, you know, any other choice, and they may convince them. You have to assume that, no, no, it's going to be okay. It's not going to really hurt them.
Yeah.
All right, it's 46 past the hour. We're going to come back with the slander minute. What do we got coming? Uh-huh. Misha Wolf, comedian Misha Wolf is going to be here. And we also have, of course, Kyan Douglas from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And we're down here at Elmo on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. It's 47 past the hour here on America Radio.
Morning Sedition on the air and online. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Now, the Morning Sedition old-time radio players present this installment of Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
This week, newsman Wayne Gilman stars as the slickest, coolest private dick ever to move to the suburbs with his sister and her two young children in Make Room for News Daddy.
Uncle News Daddy, can you tell us a bedtime story?
I sure can. Once upon a time, there was me and two foxy young ladies.
Wayne, don't you dare tell those kids that story.
And a hardcore private eye adjust to life in the burbs.
I told you punks not to walk across my lawn. Now you're going to get a lesson News Daddy style.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Be there for all the heartwarming fun.
Ice cream!
All right!
Yeah, ice cream!
Man.
Ice cream, yeah!
Ice cream. Wait, he's driving away.
He ain't going nowhere. Get your uncle a rocket pot.
Mister, can I get my ball out of your yard?
Make your move, sucker.
This has been Make Room for News Daddy on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
All right, 53 past the hour. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be here till 9 a.m. We're giving free coffee away. We got prizes. There's a few Krispy Kreme donuts here. We got Mishna Wolf, comedian, coming up. We got Kyan Douglas from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I can learn something from. We also, I need a
Are
little help.
Are we shamelessly pandering to our location?
A little bit, but I'll tell you, I don't get as much attention as I used to since I gave up the hairdo.
You know what
I mean? Okay. Since I let it grow, man. Peace, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. All right. I got it.
Here we go. What do we got going now? The confirmation process for John Roberts to become Supreme Court Justice hasn't turned up anything particularly surprising. So we thought we could improve the story, maybe tweak it a little, on this week's Morning Sedition Slander Minute. Here is our Morning Sedition Slander Minute correspondent, Ted Fields. Ted, what can you add to the story, my friend?
Well, Mark, I have it on deep ratiocinated background that Judge John Roberts thinks justices should play only a limited role in government.
Yeah, we knew that.
He told the Senate that right off the bat. You heard it on the confirmation hearings just like we did.
Oh, you saw those?
Of course we saw them, Ted.
I didn't think anybody else is going to watch.
Well, you got anything else?
I have it on deep, dark chocolate background that President Bush won't release certain documents about Judge Roberts, and no one knows for sure what those documents are from.
Actually, we do, Ted. They're from when he was Principal Deputy Solicitor General to Bush Senior's administration.
Well, maybe it's only just...
And then they might deal with abortion and prisoners' rights, I think.
Yep, which would be kind of relevant right about now.
Well, I
read that story maybe a month ago.
Oh, yeah, that's been out there for a while.
Well, I have it on deep, intense, deep background that Judge John Roberts ate a kid. One of his own kids. He used to have two of them.
I mean, Ted, he still has two kids.
Why doesn't anybody respect me?
All right, this has been the Morning Sedition Slander Minute with slander correspondent Ted Fields.
John Roberts cut up Strom Thurmond into savory marinated cubes and nobody even cares.
People care, Ted.
No, they don't. I can see their disappointment when they look at me. A second string character walks in. All they're thinking is, ah, crud, Cardinal Milfington is on vacation again.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Ted.
The girls I like on Match.com won't answer my emails.
Ted Fields, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We got an interesting story out of New Jersey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, apparently a few mice, three mice with bubonic plague, have escaped a lab that was doing federal research into bioterrorism threats. Could you believe that? The scary thing about this is they don't know where the mice are. They're doing an investigation about how the mice got lost. They're thinking maybe it was paperwork, maybe it was oversight, maybe they got eaten by other animals. They're not clear on it. But again, another indication that this administration is not paying attention to almost anything. This is one of their contracted labs, and three mice with bubonic plague are in New Jersey. There are worse things in New Jersey, but the truth of the matter is...
Wait a minute! You mean the worst things in New Jersey, man?
No, I mean...
I live in New Jersey, all right?
I was born in New Jersey. The Pashmans live in New Jersey, but telling you is the scary...
You think they got the mice or something?
No, I don't think they got the mice, but I don't know what the hell... You know, what do you do about three mice with bubonic plague other than write a new song? Thank you. Take your time with these. I'll be here all week. But the bottom line is that how can this kind of oversight happen? And now don't panic, New Jersey. Tell your parents not to freak out. But bubonic plague, not contagious, unless it goes untreated. So apparently they got to find the mice, give them antibiotics, or else it's going to turn into a pneumonic plague, which is contagious, and that would bring us back to the Dark Ages, which we're already headed for anyways.
Well, these mice were actually stored at the Public Health Research Institute, and... At first, they thought somebody stole them. Now, why would anybody steal mice with bubonic plague?
Because they're little bombs. They're like, we'll win. And they throw the mice into a school or maybe an outpost. 57 past the hour, we'll be back with Misha Wolf and also Kyan Douglas from Core Life and Straight Guy in Washington, D.C., Air America.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. Come on down. Kyan Douglas from the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is going to be here any minute. Misha Wolf, the comedian, is coming. Jeremy Gilley, founder of Peace One Day, will discuss his documentary film, which was amazing, by the way, Riley. This guy's a genuine cat. He's going to be on the show. He was a guy that had aspirations to be an actor, actually starred in a couple of B science fiction movies, and decided to commit his life to not only public service, but trying to institute a global day of peace. It's a very interesting movie, and I didn't think I would like it, to be honest with you. So moving moving on, we are going to also today, we are going to be debuting the international debut of Public Enemy's new song, Hell No, We Ain't All Right.
Yeah.
It's only available online at Real Networks. You can go to Real.com to download it, but wait till we premiere it. Okay. Proceeds benefit the 21st Century Foundation, a group that has been serving black communities for 35 years, which has set up a special fund for the poorest and neediest victims of Hurricane Katrina. To donate, you can go to 21st Century Foundation. Go to www.21cf.org. I'm looking forward to that song because it's Flavor Flav, it's Chuck D, it's a reuniting of Public Enemy for the first time in a little while.
Yeah.
Hey, Maron.
Yes, sir.
It's very strange here, but I'm getting word that phone lines are ringing and you have your stalker on line one. He sounds really different.
Oh, that's kind of creepy. Do we have to do it on a live show? Or All right, put him through. Put him through.
Hey, Mark. What's going on, buddy? You're right outside
Elmo. Really? You're here, like, right now?
Yeah, man. Come in and we can chat. Hey.
No, I don't think so, all right? I don't think so. No, all right, maybe, I guess. So. Oh, hey, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Mother Scratcher. What's up? Hey, Riley.
Mother Scratcher?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Are we in 1965?
Am I wrong in saying that you seem a little different? I mean, we've never actually met, but
man.
You seem a little... You know.
Yeah. I saw my pharmacologist / therapist the other day, and I started my meds like 2 days ago, and I feel freaking great.
Wow. Well,
hey, you look great, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Man, look at you. I'm going to stalk you.
What?
I'm totally stalking you, man.
This is like a complete different guy. It's a whole different thing.
No doubt, man. The first day I was on Effexolix, I felt like I was wearing a spacesuit. But this morning I woke up to a whole new world.
Good, man.
Yeah, man, I'm going back to school. All right. I'm taking some classes.
Uh-huh.
You know, at the new school, I heard your show last week, and I had to take that classic Desserts of Vienna.
Uh-huh.
I have to, man.
Yeah.
It changed my life.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
did, yeah.
So desserts, huh? That was the
yeah,
key?
Yeah, man. I made creme brulee at home last night.
Wow.
I wiped it all over my nude body in full-length mirror. I stabbed a picture of you several times with my biggest knife. It was delicious.
Wow.
Absolutely delicious.
Dude, huh? Creme brulee. Stabbed a picture of me. Well, I don't know what to say.
Self-actualization, Mark, and yoga. Geez, I was just carrying all that tension around in my neck and shoulders, but now I can transfer it all to you. I'm going to ruin your life, man. I'm going to turn you into a little black ball. You're going to curl up. I'm going to step on you. I am so on top of things now, man. You are so screwed.
Wow, so cheery yet so psychotic, Phil.
I thank the medicine, Mark. Seriously, for the first 24 hours, I was like getting these, you know, messages like murder, dismember, drink blood, the whole thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then I got about 14 hours of sleep, which is totally out of character for me.
Uh-huh.
And I feel great, you bastard. You stupid, pathetic bastard. God, I'm going to kill you, Mark. This is going to be so good for both of us. Wow, I love this fall weather, don't you? Don't you guys? It's great, isn't it?
You're kind of freaking me out, Mark.
I'm going to bury you in a pile of beautiful fall leaves, Mark. Can you smell them? All right, see you, man.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a knitting group. Big ass needles, scarves.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He actually just said, kill you later.
Kill you later?
Yeah, he said, kill you later.
Make sure somebody escorts him to the train.
it's actually nice to finally meet him. All right, look, you know, speaking about, there was a story I read yesterday that maybe we'll get to a little while about the rise in attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder drugs among adults. Right,
yeah.
So this is scary because it's like it's harkening back to the age of Benny's, you know what I mean? And Trucker Speed and, Go Fast, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know about any of those.
Yeah,
things.
I'm sure you don't, man. So let's, in the aftermath of the Bush administration's complete failure to respond before and after Hurricane Katrina, unemployment numbers have exploded. The Labor Department said 71,000 people signed up for benefits last week. 68,000 of the claims were because of the failure of the Bush administration to prepare properly and protect those jobs. And those people.
Yeah, we're at now a two-year high in terms of the claimants for the week ending last September 10th, 398,000. That's the highest in 2 years. And this is making a lot of these Republican budget cutters very, very afraid. All of a sudden, all of these costs are starting to mount up, and they don't have the money.
Well, you know what really scared them is that they really assumed that more people would die and they wouldn't have numbers like this.
Oh.
And now that you know, this has happened, they've got to rework everything, and economists are freaking out. You know, because I think that, if they're going to charge the owners of that retirement home for killing those 35 people through negligence, why don't we impeach Bush for the same type of homicidal negligence?
Yeah.
And respond to the, if the legal system is going to apply that kind of logic, I think we have an impeachable case here. I think we have a case for impeachment that is actually murder through negligence.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, if he gets convicted of a crime, what the heck, he could only do, what, a couple of years? He could do that standing on his head, couldn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Look, there are some people, this is a benefit, but I think that they're going to need more time. There have been calls to extend the amount of time a person can claim unemployment benefits from 26 weeks to 39 weeks, and I think they should just open the back end of that a little more, because they're going to need people, they're going to need to help people a lot more than 39 weeks. I got to imagine that in order to get people set up, the federal government is going to have to offer a little more time.
See, this is what's scaring the Republicans in Congress. Hurricane Katrina has made the American people rethink each and every one of these draconian measures, including the bankruptcy bill, including the cap on unemployment benefits, all these different measures that they put in place over the last 8 to 10 years that have had the effect of keeping poor people poor, and in many cases making poor people poorer. Now suddenly they got to say, wait a minute, we got a huge catastrophe on our hands. We've got to amend some of this.
You know what's amazing is that now economists are completely freaked out because the extra government spending will further pressure the U.S. budget deficit, which is already running on at unsustainable levels. It's going to take, you know, the bottom line is, on an economic level, this could have taken at max $70 million to fix before this hurricane. Now it's going to cost $200 billion, and that's directly because of this president. All they would have had to do is not cut the budget and deny the Army Corps of Engineers the, what, $50 to $60 million it would have taken to fix these levies so this wouldn't happen, and now it's going to cost the country $200 billion? That's unbelievable. These guys always wanted to bankrupt this country. I think what the plan is the inner circle, the neocon death cult, is going to bankrupt the country, it's going to become a third world country, and they're going to move to England and run it from there.
they might.
Is that crazy speculation on my part?
Well, I don't know. I mean, one of the things we don't have to speculate about is that this is not the first hurricane that's ever made landfall in the United States. It is, however, the first hurricane that threatens to crush the United States budget. Now, why is that happening? Ask yourself, why is this hurricane different from all the other hurricanes that have made landfall? It's called Iraq and Afghanistan. That's what it's called. That's why there's a budget problem. That's why they're scared to spend this money. Let's say, for the sake of argument, they didn't fund repairing the levees. If we were not at war, as our president constantly tells us, there'd be plenty of money to fix New Orleans. But right now, everybody's scrambling, trying to figure out how are we going to do this when we're spending $1 billion a month across 7,000 miles from here.
Okay, in a minute, we're going to talk about hair and lotion.
Oh.
And everybody needs hair and lotion and, yeah, you know, products. Maybe, I just want to say, thank Carl Rowe for sending the semis, as he always does, when we try to do a show outside the studio where there's a window. You know, Carl will send the trucks down to distract us. We know, buddy. Thanks for the attention.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Kyan Douglas from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy after 15 past the hour. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant, down on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th, Morning Edition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Is it possible for you to shut the f*** up for 10 seconds?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition program broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be here till 9 a.m. We got coffee. We got donuts. Come on down and say hello. If you want more information, you can go to ElmoRestaurant.com. Also, next week, we'll be broadcasting live from the XM Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We're going to have Cindy Sheehan as our guest. That's September 23rd. That's the day before Greenfest and the big anti-war rally. Come on down. You can go to morningsedition.com and enter to win a free pair of tickets. You're going to need tickets for that one. A couple of just highlights from the president's speech last night. He went out of his way to blame the hurricane. Quote, Katrina was not a normal hurricane, and the normal disaster relief system was not equal to it. So we've got the closure on that, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing he went out of his way to do was to take responsibility for his administration. Well, I interpreted it as that because in his opening statements, he basically said, we have also witnessed a kind of desperation no citizen of this great and generous nation should ever know. Fellow Americans calling out for food and water, vulnerable people left at the mercy of criminals who had no mercy, and I take that to be the Bush administration. So it seems that... He's effectively taking responsibility on that level and basically pushed off most of the responsibility for rebuilding onto charitable organizations. So still not doing what the federal government should do, as far as I can tell.
Mark?
Yes.
What's a normal hurricane?
Exactly. You know, the kind that just does the things that you kind of expect it to do and not go crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Glad you straighten that out for us.
This is a crazy hurricane. This hurricane, you know, if you look under crazy hurricane, there's only been like one or two like this.
Oh, okay.
And they should be on some sort of galactic medication because
this one
crazy.
Wasn't normal. That's why it was so abnormal.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Kyan Douglas in just a few minutes from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I have to be honest with you. I went through a short but intense metrosexual phase.
I know, I was there.
Yeah, you saw it, right? You saw the hair. I just couldn't manage it anymore. It just took too much effort to put hair cream in. And I know that sounds weird, but I just don't want to be aware of it anymore. I'd like to just let it grow. If I had my choice, I'd look like the Unabomber, I think. But then there's part of me that's like, I'd look like the Unabomber, but I'd still be obsessing about my fat. You know what I mean? But, you know, I do get a little creeped out by the millions of middle-aged men with sort of Atkins-induced anorexia, you know, strutting around ripped and bug-eyed from a perpetual ketosis state, you know, with that weird sheen that could be misconstrued as healthy, but I actually think it's just cholesterol oozing out of their pores.
Are you sure it's not steroids or something? Because you're talking about middle-aged men.
Well, have you seen when I see a guy, and I don't want to be too judgmental because I'm one of these guys on some days, you know, when I see a guy that's got, like, you know, ab muscles, he's ripped, and he's got the hair and the skin and everything going, and he's 45, all I'm thinking is, like, wow, that guy can't have a job. You know, because, you know, there's only a couple ways you get a body like that, jail or unemployment. You understand? So whenever I see that, I'm thinking, this guy has absolutely, you know, nothing interesting to say about anything because all his time is going into, like, do I look good? How's the shirt? How are the pants? How's my body? You know, and I'm not like that. Basically, with me, I've limited to, like, one thing. Like, am I fat? You know, that's all I'll do. You know what I mean? I tend to take... I go the old school self-involvement. You know, it's just sort of perpetual self-reflection on existential crisis, you know, what happens after you die, nothing probably. Well, that makes it sad. See, that's about the self-involvement I get.
I don't understand something, though.
Yeah.
Why would middle-aged guys with, you know, tight abs be showing them in the first place?
Are you serious? You really don't, you know,
I don't see bad. I mean, you know, you got them. But, like, why expose them?
Because they want people to go, wow, nice work.
No, they go, here goes that old man down the street without his shirt on again.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that the not the pharmaceutical industry, though they're probably making a little bit of money off of middle-aged men with good abs. But what am I trying to say? The cosmetic industry. I'm going to talk to Kyan about this because what is metrosexual? That is that just a fashion? Was that invented to sell male cosmetic products? Because by 2007, it's supposed to be like a $10 billion industry.
All right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I got a tube or two of Kiehl's lotion, I'll admit, all right? But $10 billion, and I don't know, is that much vanity that attractive? Do women find this attractive?
I don't know. Women, do you find this attractive? What about those body sprays that they make for men? Now they got a body spray, you know.
Whoa, body spray?
You put it on and women jump all over you.
Come on.
I'm serious. It's called Tag or something. Anybody heard of it? It's this body spray. You spray it on and next thing you know, the women are grabbing you in the shopping.
It sounds like someone's buying the advertising campaign.
No. They only advertise on wrestling and football.
Really?
Yeah.
Oddly enough, those people probably need it because I think there is a latent homosexual element to that.
No, but, they just smell bad.
And I don't want to be psychologizing here, but they just jump all over you, huh? You just spray it on.
That's what the ad says.
Yeah. You know?
I'm not worried about it because I don't want anybody near me anyway. So it doesn't make any difference.
I think a lot of times, to be honest with you, just from my own experience, and you know, and I love my wife. I thank God that I have her in my life. But occasionally there is a little bit of you know, there's a little bit of influence that comes from that corner in terms of, you know, me looking a certain way. You
from the women folk.
Yeah, yeah. She likes fitted shirts, and she had me in the faux hawk for a while until I resisted and freaked out, and I had to get rid of it. So on some level, but I think on her on her part, that was just her trying to say, like, please don't look old before me, you know. But nonetheless, it is a big industry. And our own Dan Pashman, I didn't know this about you. You never cease to surprise me, Dan Pashman. You worked for the cosmetic industry?
I did, Mark. It's true. I actually worked. I was a temp at Unilever in Chicago. I was entering, like, the different sizes of the shampoo bottles into a database. It was really riveting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. I could go on about shampoo bottles for many hours, but I'll spare you. But, you know, I did learn that it is a concerted effort. They feel like they've tapped out women. Like, they can't sell any more junk to women. And so it's been a concerted effort the last couple of years to make men more conscious of their image and make men buy
more
like stuff.
Women?
Yes. It's, at least in terms of their spending habits.
So wait, are you telling me that the cosmetic industry is trying to feminize me?
Yes. Well, I don't think they care whether you're more masculine or feminine in the traditional sense.
They just want to sell the product.
I wouldn't say they're trying to feminize you. They're trying to make it okay in society for men to have three different kinds of shampoo in their shower at once.
And I don't mind being feminine. I really don't. Okay, girls? All right, here we go. And I'm talking to you, Rich. It's 27 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be back with Kyan Douglas from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Stay with us.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here, Mark Riley. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be here till 9 a.m. We're giving away free coffee and prizes and donuts. And if you want to get more information, go to ElmoRestaurant.com. Mishna Wolf, the comedian, is coming up very shortly. Jeremy Gilley, founder of Peace One Day, will be here very shortly. But our next guest is best known as the grooming guru on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. He's been named one of People Magazine's 50 Most Beautiful People. He's also the author of Beautified, Secrets for Women to Look Great and Feel Fabulous. Please welcome Kyan Douglas to the show.
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Welcome.
I got to admit, as a guy, I think you're the hottest one, man.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're not so bad yourself.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Get a hotel, you could.
It's already weird. I'm willing to learn. Now, a couple of questions right out of the bat. How do you tolerate Carson? Let's be honest.
Well, you know, doses. No, Carson's a great guy. He's hysterical, and you know, he's not always that wound up. A lot of people don't know that about him. He actually has a very mellow side.
You saying he's being dramatic?
Oh, just a little. I know this is going to be hard to believe. Yeah. He actually plays it up for the camera.
No.
You can believe that.
So, okay, I guess we should just talk, you know, right out about, we don't have to do me right now. But,
you know what I feel? I have to say, I feel very uncomfortable talking about grooming right now because I was thinking radio show this morning. I forgot about the whole live audience part of it.
Oh, really?
So I'm feeling kind of shabby.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're wearing a Jets jersey and, and you know, ripped pants. I mean, I'm amazed in your
hair.
There's no product in it. You didn't shave. I wasn't going to say anything. It was a little uncomfortable. But, so what do you think? Let's just do a help segment. If we can do that. What are the basic things that people screw? How's my skin look? Am I all right?
Your skin looks good.
Thank you very much.
I kind of like you with the
whiskers.
With the whiskers.
Thanks,
uh-huh.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
you're looking very uncomfortable now. I meant that strictly, you know.
I'm kind of uncomfortable, but it's kind of cool.
It's kind of nice.
Now, what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make, just generally speaking, in terms of, you know, like getting up in the morning, getting out of bed, you know, how have I already screwed up?
Well, you're not buttoned right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey,
hey, watch it, fella.
What have you two been doing before I got here?
Just waiting for you. But what are some of the mistakes?
I think it's all about finding your own personal style. Like for you, not shaving right now.
Yeah.
You look great not shaving.
Thank you.
Your hair's a little messy, but so is mine. We're wearing these little earphones, right?
Yes, yes.
But I think, you know, most guys, we were talking a minute ago, you guys were talking about, you know, skincare and beauty lines being available for men. And I think that's not about, you know, trying to feminize a guy. It's just about teaching a guy how to take care of himself. I think a lot of guys just don't do the basics to take care of their skin.
Uh-huh.
Or even eat right and exercise. Some of the very basic stuff.
You listening, Riley?
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I work out. Yeah, I wash every day.
There you go.
I take a shower every day.
Old school.
Why do you wash? Underwear every day.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I
do. And he wants credit for that. He wants credit for that he wears clean underwear.
Hey. Good for you. Clean underwear. And washing every day.
This is a city of 8 million people, and a lot of them don't change their underwear every day, and a lot of them don't wash every day. Just walk outside.
Sadly, it's sad but true.
Apparently, Riley's been conducting strange surveys in his free time.
Research. I knew you were coming.
Hey, when you wash your face, what do you wash with?
Yeah.
I use the same. I use soap.
Yeah.
I use soap.
Wow.
I
know that's cool.
I like scented soap, but normally it's just whatever's on sale.
Oh, whatever's on sale. That's it. That must be like,
the guy in the know, like sort of the more like metrosexual type of guy, though, has a separate cleanser for his face because he understands that like soap that you use on your body, under your arms or wherever, it's kind of unsanitary to use it on your face. But also, it's just a little harsh to actually dry out your skin.
Oh, no,
you're lucky you have really good skin. You're obviously getting away with it. But not all of us have a good
skin. Getting away with it? Listen, I use Dr. Bronner's. That's the one thing. I use regular soap and Dr. Bronner's.
Oh, that's good.
You know, yeah.
There you go.
That's what I use.
You're sort of metrosexual and didn't even know it.
I can use the Dr. Bronner's before the word metrosexual was coined, for God's sake.
I use Cetaphil on my face.
Really?
Yeah, is that good?
That's good. It's actually a good and expensive choice.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, it's, you're doing good.
Now, I want to talk about the show, man. I got to be honest with you. I enjoy the show. I've watched it a few times, and every time I tend to cry a little bit. And I find it emotional, you know, because some of the guys are real, you know, schlubs, you know, and you turn them around. Now, has there ever been a situation on the show where you've turned them all the way around and they've become gay?
See, there you go again with that right-wing religious brain turning people.
Good. Yeah, that's not how it works.
I said turn them around.
Oh.
I'm sorry, let me rephrase it.
It's
waking them up to their true self.
Being gay isn't really about peer pressure or about being turned around. It's sort of you are or you aren't. So not really. There have been a couple that I wouldn't have, you know, a couple of kind of cute ones on there, but no, not at all.
And did you, you know?
Did you get
no, I don't know.
Has there been any dating that goes on with the, you know, I'm trying to get to
you
the
mean within the cast or within
no,
the,
I'm talking
of
about
course not. I mean, it's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Those guys are straight, and just because they hang out with, you know, five gay guys for a day doesn't
now wait a minute. I know that there's a conspiracy to make us all look gay.
Yes, I have a closet full of toasters at home from all the conversions.
All right. All right, so what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, my goodness.
So what do we get? What's going on with the new season? What's some of the exciting
new season,
things?
Well, we just came back from the Creative Arts Emmys. We were nominated for an Emmy this year. We actually won.
Congratulations.
We didn't win.
Doesn't
but
matter.
We won one last year, which was a thrill. And this year, Extreme Makeover Home won, which was a very deserving show. So the Emmys were going on. We're in the middle of making 26 new episodes. We've got a block of wedding shows coming up. Wedding shows. I understand you have a producer that's getting married.
Brendan P.W. McDonald.
Yeah.
He's getting married.
He looks 12. Doesn't he look 12?
It's really good skin product.
He said it's a Sicilian blood.
Sicilians, yeah. We have a Sicilian.
I'm going to try a transfusion and see if that works. I could use that.
There's so many Sicilians named McDonald.
Right. No, I don't. The Irish never took. I don't know why. It just never stuck around.
Good for you. I mean, I don't know.
So what can we tell him? Any advice for the marrying man here?
You know, just the basics, like, you know, a 6-series chemical peel, teeth whitening.
Well, what do I get to wear?
Manicure, pedicure, haircut, just the usual.
You,
the basics.
You probably wouldn't be surprised at this, but I still haven't even thought about what I'm going to wear. I mean, I'm 3 weeks out from getting married, and I haven't even begun to think about it. My wife-to-be had her dress months ago, and right. I haven't even begun the process.
Well, are you going to rent a tux, or what are you doing?
I was planning on getting a tux. But
that's I think that's the easy way to go for guys. I mean, it's sort of like... it's
light blue, done.
It's I would say just go with the classic black tux, white shirt.
Classic blacks and
no
and,
tails.
No tails. What about a vest of some kind? Or
maybe a vest. Not so much on the cummerbund, really.
Right. That's a little like, you know, Mr. Moneybags from Monopoly.
It's a little sort of prom 1980 kind of.
But make sure you do get the corsages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, but do I have to, I don't know anything about her dress. See, this is what we go through as guys who don't prepare for these things.
Right.
And they just get them thrust on us.
Do you have a sister by any chance?
No, I don't.
Does she have a...
She does. And I talk to my lady friends to find out. And they tell me, you know, well, what's she wearing? And I say, well, she won't tell me. And then you're like, they're like, but you don't know.
So you need
you haven't just figured that out.
You need an intermediary to help you figure out, you know, what she's wearing. But if you go with black, you're going to be good.
All right. Your confidence is giving me confidence.
You look great. Well, I mean, look at you. Look at him. You're together.
Thank you. Look at this live crowd. So nice.
Right? If all the guys on the show were like him, we'd have nothing to do.
Now,
I think he could spruce up the pants a little bit.
The pants are bad. The shoes have...
I mean, let's be honest.
It's a radio. I feel terrible.
You can't really do it. You feel a little...
You know, he's dressed appropriate for where he is. He's got on
the radio.
A polo shirt. Beautiful sort of khaki pants. Are you wearing?
Pleats.
They have pleats.
That's
okay. Our sound guy yesterday looked at Brendan's pants and said, "Pleats?
Your sound guy said that?
Yeah. But what's wrong with pleats these days?
Well, they tend to make you look a little full.
You think he's got to worry?
I don't think he has to worry about it so much.
That's what I said.
But isn't that interesting? Your sound guy comes to work, looks at your producer, and says, "Pleats." That's we've come a long way, baby.
Oh yeah, no. Well, yeah. Chris is an odd one. He'll say things that'll make you go, "What? Really?" But he's a very sensitive man, Chris.
I got one quick question for Kyan, and this is not about the wedding, but it's something that you guys talk about on the show a lot. I always see you chastising these straight guys.
We never chastise.
Being a little flip for them shaving against the grain.
Yeah.
Flip. Yeah, you know, that looks it looks bad. It's definitely something you're told not to do.
Do you see them bleed, though?
It's true,
It hurts me when I see them bleed.
I mean, it feels good when you do that. What do you...
Here's the deal. It's not that you can never shave against the grain. Most guys shouldn't, though, because it irritates their skin really
badly.
You don't have very much of a beard. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can probably go. I don't mean that in a bad way.
But
Mark's beard is much fuller.
Yeah.
My beard's much fuller. So you can probably go against the grain. And if you've been shaving against the grain all your life, your hair follicles have adjusted.
Right.
So if you do grow a beard, it's going to be up. really weird looking.
But if when you shave, you notice that you bleed or you get really irritated, then you should try to go with the grain.
I see. All right. Yeah. I'll get the 5-blade razor.
Yeah. What about that? Yes. Did you see that? There's a 5-blade razor now.
You know what? I'm not a fan. I think you know 2 or 3 is good enough. Because actually, the closer, like if your shave is a little too close, you can get ingrown hairs and it's
oh yeah,
that's
a situation. Listen, before we let you go,
yes.
I do want to talk about it on a serious note.
Yes.
You have spent a lot of time dealing with the issue of AIDS, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about your work in that area.
Oh, thank you for asking that. Well, you know, as a gay person, I sort of missed the AIDS crisis in the 80s because I'm younger than that generation. But I've have friends that are dealing with HIV and AIDS, have lost friends to HIV and AIDS. And so because of my, you know, how it's affected my life personally, I just sort of, you know, do whatever I can. You know, the same way that other people are doing whatever they can for the people down south because of Katrina. You just sort of do what you can when you feel called to do so.
Well, I really appreciate you coming down. I want to ask you a general fashion question before you leave, which is basically, how cool are British soccer jerseys? I mean, honestly.
I don't think they're that cool.
I know.
I mean, unless you're David Beckham or something like that.
So I'm an Arsenal fan. I just wear the jerseys because I happen to be a fan of a particular British football team.
Well, where do you wear the jersey?
At home, on the radio. Nobody sees it on the radio.
There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't wear it on, you know, a date with your wife or a significant other, right?
Significant other? Oh, no, yeah. I'm married.
You only have one.
No, my wife is a Tottenham Hotspur fan, so I can't wear it.
Does she wear her jerseys?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
Man, I thought you were going to say she was hot. I never, that would have been great. It was right there.
Hey,
like,
hey.
My wife is hot.
No.
She is. Go ahead and say it.
All right, my wife's hot.
All right.
Now I got to call Jacoby and Meyer. Thanks, Mark.
For saying she's nice. Look, that guy Beckham ruined hair for men for at least 15 years.
You know, he's generally irritating. He's just too good looking.
Yeah.
That guy.
Well, I mean, not yet.
He makes the rest of us look, you know.
Yeah. You look good. We're doing all right.
We're hanging in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kyan Douglas, thank you for joining us. Have a great season.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, Johnny K Street's going to be here. We're also going to premiere the new Public Enemy song. International premiere, 47 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program, broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be here at about 9 a.m. We're giving away free coffee and donuts and prizes, and you can come on down and touch Mark Riley.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, you can come down and recommend me some skin care products, maybe bring me some. That'd be nice. Mishna Wolf is going to be here, the comedian. She'll be here momentarily. Jeremy Gilley, founder of Peace One Day, will be here to discuss a documentary film, which I believe opens, when does that open? Tonight? It opens September 20th, actually. It's a great documentary, and it's a pretty interesting event. I'm looking forward to talking to that guy.
All
right. Also, in just a few minutes, we're going to do the international premiere of Public Enemy's new song, Hell No, We Ain't All Right.
Yeah!
It's only going to be available online at Real Networks. You can go to Real.com to download it after we premiere it. Thank you. Proceeds will benefit the 21st Century Foundation, a group that has been serving black communities for 35 years, which has set up a special fund for the poorest and neediest victims of Hurricane Katrina. I wish Chuck was stopping by. I don't know if he's going to stop by.
I know he's out of town.
Oh, he's out of town?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go ahead and play it anyways.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Because we like Chuck. There are lots of big stories in the news this week, so it's time to get some bets down with our own Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street.
Yeah!
Yeah. Hey, Johnny.
Beautiful people. Beautiful people.
Hey, buddy. Where's the action, man?
Close me, baby.
Johnny, did you watch the president's speech last night, Johnny?
I watched the president's speech. I've had lap dances that were more sincere than that speech.
Johnny, what do you think about Bush's plans for rebuilding New Orleans?
I'm sure Bush is going to see that the billions of dollars in aid go to all the right people. Halliburton.
Yeah.
That's going off at 2-1. You couldn't make easier money if you were Dick Cheney taking kickbacks from a company he used to be in charge of and storing it in a bank in Switzerland, hypothetically.
Well, that sounds good.
It's not like I heard anything.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Why don't you put me down for a yard on that one, Johnny?
I'm down for a grand, Johnny. What do you think about Bush taking responsibility for the screw-ups after Katrina?
I took a bath on that. I had a 10,001 long shot. Bush would never take responsibility for anything.
I'd like to see him take responsibility for rushing us into a war with Iraq.
Yeah, that'll happen the day after Kanye West marries Jana Bush, all right? And that's going off at 1,000,001 if you're interested.
Right. What the heck? Put me down for $10. You never know. Stranger things have happened, Johnny.
I know they haven't.
Right? All right, so let's talk about John Roberts. What do you think of the confirmation hearing?
I think they went way too easy on him.
Yes.
They threw more softballs than a lesbian pitcher. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
What? Am I making this up? I thought don't ask, don't tell only applied to the Army. You know what I'm saying?
So,
does anyone have a TV?
Welcome to Chelsea. How do you think Roberts is handling the questioning there, buddy?
Would have been nice if he answered one. The last person who did that much dancing around was Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. Roberts couldn't double talk more if he had 2 mouths.
Hey.
I've seen made guys give up more information. I've been questioned by senators myself, you know.
What, you know, hearings on organized crime?
Oh, let's not get personal, okay? That's all in the past.
Uh-huh.
I like to look at myself now as a political gaming consultant. On the advice of my attorney.
Hey, Johnny, I may be going out on a limb here, but it sounds like you don't really trust Roberts.
Trust him? How can you trust a guy that does more weaving than a Harlem beauty salon?
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying? The guy's got to get out of Chelsea. Roberts wouldn't break a sweat in a sauna. Where I come from, we have one word for guys like John Roberts. Guilty. I'm not sure what he's guilty of, but I got some action on it. So get your money down.
Yeah, what is he at?
500-1, Roberts has a secret life.
Okay, that's good.
My guess is, you know, it's always the guys like Roberts that are kicking.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My guess is he'll be the first cross-dresser on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I'm down for 1,000 on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put me down for a yard there.
Now I'm hitting this audience.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Put me down for a yard there, Johnny.
You down for a yard?
Yeah.
All right. Even Money Cards Thomas will be sexually harassing him within a week.
I'll take that as well for 5 there, buddy.
5 sounds good to me.
5 sounds good. I know it sounds hard to believe, but no one believed me when I said Ann Coulter made an X-rated underground film called Nazi She-Wolf. You know what I mean? Now you can get it on eBay. I got to get the toy. Thank you.
Nazi She-Wolf. That was Johnny K Street.
Wow.
So, you know, we got coming up here, we got Jeremy Gilley, founder of Peace One Day. He's going to discuss a documentary film and a children's book of the same name. You know, this guy's a pretty impressive character. We've got comedian, pretty impressive. What kind of, you know, trivializing? He's a very impressive guy.
There you go.
We've got comedian Mishna Wolf is coming up, and we're also going to premiere the brand new Public Enemy song about the victims of Katrina. So stay with us. It's 57 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning, geniuses. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo.
You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We're coming to you live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue here in Manhattan between 19th and 20th. We'll be here till 9 a.m. We got coffee, donuts, prizes, Mark and me. For more on Elmo, go to ElmoRestaurant.com. Mark and me. You know how many emails I got that said, quit saying Mark and I. It doesn't make sense grammatically. I'm glad that I'm talking about, people are hanging on that, not getting obsessed with little things. But, look, you can join Morning Sedition next week. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. on the 23rd, broadcasting live from the XM studios down there. We're going to have Cindy Sheehan in the studio.
Yes.
It's the day before... the day before Greenfest and the big anti-war rally. You can go to morningsedition.com to figure out how to win a pair of free tickets. Again, want to thank Lynn from Queens who brought us a big bag of tomatoes, Riley. We have nice fans.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
You owe me some mustard, man.
I do. Belgian mustard.
That's right.
People from Belgium brought me mustard last week and me some nice chocolate powder.
Yeah, no, she came and told me I was supposed to get one of those.
Well, I got
either the chocolate or the mustard.
All right, I'll try and
give it up.
I'll get right on that, Riley.
Thank you.
I'll be coming to you, sure, next week. I'll bring you the mustard and the chocolate powder that was for you.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Have you ever thought it would be nice if everyone across the world could somehow stop fighting? Our next guest certainly has, and he's gone so far as to push the United Nations to set a date in the calendar that is an internationally recognized day of peace. He documented his efforts in a film called Peace One Day, which will air on the Sundance Channel next Wednesday, September 21st, the fourth annual internationally recognized day of peace. His film is also debuting at the Ziegfeld here in New York City on September 20th, and apparently Angelina Jolie will be there, which you know is good for some people for many different reasons. Now, he's a filmmaker, an author, and the activist behind Peace One Day. Please welcome Jeremy Gilley to the show. Now, Jeremy, I watched your documentary, and I thought it was a great documentary. I was hesitant to watch it for some reason because I thought it would be heavy-handed, but it's very personal. It's very it's inspirational on some level. What was your inspiration other than being a bitter actor?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's good inspiration, as you well point out. No, my inspiration was I don't understand the destruction that's going on environmentally. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the starvation that's going on daily. And I don't understand the killing of innocent people on a daily basis. And, you know, growing up, I think for many of your all these amazing people in the audience and yourselves, that's difficult to kind of come to terms with. And how do you make sense of it? Why do we do the things that we do? So that in itself, you know, mm-hmm. was real inspiration for me to kind of say, you know, could I make a difference in any way? An ordinary individual, you know, could I do something? I've got a D in pottery, it's the only qualification I've got, you know, I'm dyslexic, but I wanted to try in some way to make a kind of a change. And then, of course, you say to yourself, well, what are the tools that you have at your disposal in order to be able to make that change? And, you know, I was an actor for many years, and I wanted to become a filmmaker, so I thought, could I use film to try and make a change in some way? And because I had also read at that point that media, as one sector of society, had a real responsibility to make a difference. If we're doctors, if we're teachers, if we're in the media, whatever it is we're doing, we have a responsibility as individuals to try our best to be a part of some kind of change.
Yeah,
so the only thing I could do was I was a filmmaker, and so I was thinking about the whole issues of peace and where's the starting point for peace, and I was thinking about the UN, and I was thinking about, you know, when are they going to unite the world, and that's an incredible organization. And it struck me that there was no World Peace Day.
Mm-hmm.
There was no day in the world above politics, above religion, not more important than either of those things, that there was no day that united the world. There was nothing that brought us together to sort of share something as one. And for me, that makes total sense. And there was the mountain in order to be able to climb. Of course, as a filmmaker, you need a narrative, you need a journey, you know, and the journey was, could I establish the first ever World Peace Day voted by every head of state in the world and make a documentary about that journey, whether it failed or succeeded? It wasn't the issue. It was about having a go. And, you know, of course...
Beautiful. Take a breath.
Okay.
That was excellent.
That was excellent. It was excellent. But I just, there was a moment there where I'm like, oh my God, he's not going to stop. I think, as I said, it is inspirational. And International Peace Day means basically that nobody fires a gun in any way around the world. No arms, no violence at all internationally. That everybody just stops.
Well, yeah, a World Peace Day, yeah, in essence that is the case. But for us, the resolution, we worked hard to get the words non-violence in the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a day, a cessation of hostilities for the duration of the day. When I traveled the world, I spoke to NGOs, Nobel laureates, UN figures, government figures, and said, if there was a day of peace, is there any benefits to a day where we say we stop? And of course there is. Children can be immunized, aid can be moved, lives are saved, you know, and this scenario, there's many, many case studies of conflicts being stopped so that people can benefit on it just for one day.
And that would make a tremendous difference.
But more importantly, it's a ceasefire non-violence day. And the words non-violence mean that it means everything to everybody in this room. Because it's just not about the violence between our countries. It's actually about the violence in our homes. It's actually about the violence in our schools and in our communities.
Yeah.
And this is a day, you know, a day for global unity. This is a day for us all to be empowered. We feel very disempowered, particularly young people. So we put a children's book by Penguin together called Peace One Day. If you're watching the news and you're a young person today, how do you make sense of that? And if you're a parent, how do you explain to your young people, you know, why we as human beings behave the way we do? It's
mm-hmm.
very difficult. And now, the 21st of September, is an opportunity for young people, for families, and also for governments to join in a moment of global unity so that we can shift one day, hopefully, from a culture of war to a culture of peace.
Nice.
And a day of global unity is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Jeremy, it strikes me that in order for this to really work well, violence, and not just war, but violence in general, would have to be seen by most people on this planet as anathema. How long do you think that would take realistically?
Well, I mean, I think it's a process, and, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that it was something that is beneficial. I mean, I've spoken to 30,000 young people, I've spoken to hundreds of teachers, I've recorded 417 hours of young people's thoughts, as well as every other sector of society. I think it's a process. I'm not sure that I can answer your question, but I know that it's something that we need to move towards. We need to create a concrete step. We need to have a starting point. And so there's a move towards, you know, the ideal that we would like to see, which is, you know, us celebrating something together. You know, which is, of course, Dad Pace.
And in the film, you just jump in helicopters, you fly, you go anywhere, you go all over the world without even thinking twice about it, just to talk to people, to talk to diplomats. And it's pretty fascinating, because I'm a guy, if I'm going to travel, I got a plan, you know, but you just, like, go. Now, what were some of the biggest obstacles you met in doing this process and trying to get this established?
The biggest obstacles were the ones you described. I mean, flying to every continent of the world, you know, going to 40 or so countries. We spent about 1.4 million sterling to see the film that you will see on the Sundance Channel or indeed can get from Netflix. It's about $3 million. And of course, we didn't have anything. We weren't backed by anybody. So, you know, all the flights were done by British Airways. The stock was done by Kodak, cameras, Panavision, digital equipment, Sony. I mean, it goes on and on. The dry cleaner around the corner knew that I didn't have any money. He was doing the suit. Somebody had given a suit. I mean, it was a real process of, you know, everybody mucking in. When you look at the credit list, there's about 3.5 minutes of, you know, hundreds of people and corporations being involved. And so it was a sort of an effort of we all agree that the idea of a moment of global unity, of intercultural cooperation, made sense, and therefore I appeal to the individual, you know, in corporations, you know, within the industry to say, will you help? And the answer was yes. And it was an amazing collaboration.
Were you able to ask Bono for some dough?
Actually, funny enough, he just saw the film. I think he's flown back from America to Ireland, and I know that he watched the film on the way, and I got a message saying that he absolutely loved it, so I'm hoping to meet him soon.
Like a message on your cell phone, like, this is Bono.
Well, no, it wasn't quite like that.
Not quite like that.
If it was like that, I'd be playing it right now.
Jeremy, you said you talked to a lot of young people. Do young people believe that they get a bad rap with regard to violence? Older people sometimes tend to look at violence as the sole province of the young.
My experience is that young people find it, they don't understand the way that it is, that why it is. And in fact, of course, a lot of the time they don't kind of really go there, because it's very difficult to go there, because none of us as adults have really got the answer to, you know, these kind of key questions. So, you know, so then when you bring in a day of peace, when you bring in a starting point for their poems, for their art, for their projects, then it really makes sense to them. They find it interesting and fascinating, and they want to be a part of it. I mean, we receive a lot of work from young people, you know, all the time. I mean, the largest education union in the United Kingdom, 244,000 teachers in 24,000 schools, has just made a commitment to a young person wrote a song about peace, and that song is going to be sung by every young person in the United Kingdom in September 21st, 2006. The idea is that we as individuals can make a commitment. You can tell peaceoneday.org of your commitment, and that's ultimately what it's about. If you want to do something on the day, then tell us. Now, what's happening is sectors of society are doing that in very large ways, and that's how you'll see this day in not so many years become institutional. And of course, Air America is supporting that process. You are telling the people, and thank you for that.
Yeah, sure. I feel like I'm saying things. I want to know that this seems overly idealistic on some level. It seems that, you know, you hear about these things and it's sort of like, yeah, what does that really do? Like, am I going to wake up on International Peace Day and, you know, and not hit myself? You know, am I, you know, there are questions that, what do you say to cynics that are just like, it's not going to make any difference?
Well, I think, you know, listen, I mean, a cynic is a cynic, and really there's not much point in hanging around. I mean, you know, that's the issue, and of course...
Half the audience would have to leave.
I actually don't think that's the case. But people who are cynical on the issue, it's okay to be cynical, because I think, you know, I went on a journey where I spoke to people like Mary Robinson, people from NGOs and UN staff and children in field and women who deal with conflict in those areas. Mm-hmm. You know, for them, this is an opportunity. This is a very positive, constructive step.
Yeah.
And if you remain cynical and say, listen, that day's not going to do anything, I can't make a difference, well, then it holds you in a space to be able to carry on living the way that you are. And that's why the world is frankly like it is.
That's
it's because we as individuals are not willing to get involved. So, you know, it's your problem, and you need to look at that.
Deal with your own
cynicism. Yeah, get on with it, you know. Yeah, because we've got to change this world and move on.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with that. I'm kidding. I'm being cynical. All right. Jeremy Gilley, founder, filmmaker, author, Peace One Day. You've done an amazing thing. The film debuts at the Ziegfeld in New York City on September 20th. It's going to be on Sundance, the Sundance Channel, on Wednesday, September 21st, the International Day of Peace. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Aaron Malcolm.
We've got the Public Enemy song coming up. We've got Mishnah Wolf coming up. Stick around at 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it. Eat it.
On Air America Radio.
22 past the hour. Good morning. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We'll be here till 9 a.m. We've got some coffee, some donuts, some prizes. These people at Elmo have just been great. You can go to ElmoRestaurant.com and check out the restaurant, I imagine, online. It's a beautiful place, and they've been very nice here. How about a round of applause for our host this morning? Morning Sedition will be in Washington, D.C. next Friday, the 23rd, broadcasting from the XM studios down there. We're going to have Cindy Sheehan with us in the studio.
Absolutely.
If you want to, absolutely, Cindy Sheehan. Good person. If you want tickets, you can go to morningsedition.com to win a few tickets. I'll tell you, man, that guy was just on, that Jeremy Gilley. He's one of those cats. You talk to him, and you just feel like, wow, I'm not doing anything. I'm an idiot for eating breakfast. What the hell's wrong with me? I shouldn't spare a second of sitting there going, I felt myself literally getting smaller and smaller. You know what I mean? He's so passionate. He's so intense. And I'm like, all right, I get it. I'm not doing enough. All right. But go see his movie. I swear to God, it's good stuff. Right now, sitting beside me is comedian Mishna Wolf, who will be appearing at the Vancouver Comedy Festival the weekend of the 23rd. We do have listeners in Vancouver, Mishna. We do.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so maybe they'll come see you.
Yeah.
And you wore the free shirt the guy brought last week.
I know. Everyone seems to have their political T-shirt on.
Oh, yes.
Today.
Yes.
I'm glad those are back, though. Remember during Clinton, like, there were no more... The only political, sort of political T-shirt you would see is sometimes people wear the biohazard T-shirt.
Yeah, that's it.
But that was like it.
It was just party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were watching the confirmation hearings with John Roberts, and, what did you think of that guy?
Oh, my God. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of the guy who's in on a business conference at the hotel I'm staying at for my gig,
Yeah.
And he hits on me all night, and then I find out he's married,
Yeah.
And when I don't go for it, he calls me a dyke. That's why he totally reminds me of that. And I don't, I don't know where he stands on, like, anything. And, and it's like, first of all, look, I understand if you don't believe in abortion, okay? I don't believe in Santa. But I don't ruin it for the kids. You see how that works?
Yeah.
And that's as a woman, I worry about that. I mean, I remember when the partial birth abortion bill was on the table. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to right-wing radio just passing through. And I heard one of these personalities, I think it might have been Rush, but the quote I remember him saying is, I've never heard of a woman dying because she didn't get an abortion.
Oh.
And I'm like, what don't you get about all those prairie movies where the father's raising two kids alone? He always says things like, if your mother was here, she'd know what to do. Your mother always knew what to do. The mother was a partial birth abortion candidate.
Oh.
Why not? No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no,
people die. They die.
I get it.
Okay?
I get it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I wish he'd just come out with it.
Yeah, how he really feels.
Stop pussyfooting around.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
I can say that word that way, right?
Yes, pussyfooting you can say.
Nice.
Pussy cats you can say.
Oh, really?
But you can't say, without qualifying it somehow. Yeah.
But, like, I could call you a puss.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll see if that just got cut out. I don't know.
You're not. You're totally not.
That's not what you said last night, thank you. But I'm not. Let's not bring it on the air, okay?
Yeah,
let's keep it at home.
Let's not. Uh-oh. It's funny because I'm listening to the Peace Guy, and I'm like, I could stop hitting you for one day. No, I'm just kidding. I would never.
Really? But that's why I married you.
Anyways.
So what about this, are you really sponsoring a child? I know you told me
that
yesterday.
Yes, I am sponsoring a Burmese child.
Uh-huh.
Actually, sometimes I shop at Walmart.
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding. I would never shop at Walmart. But wouldn't that be cool if you got a picture and a letter from the kid who made your sweatshirt?
All right, Mishna Wolf is going to stay with us. You're going to be here
for a
couple more minutes. We'll come back with Mishna. We're going to come back with the Public Enemy song. We're going to come back with some closing statements. We're here live at Elmo on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. Come on down. We're having a great time. It's Morning Sedition.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Morning Tradition on Air America, broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant on 7th Avenue between 19th and 20th. We're here till 9 a.m., and what a great job they've done. It's just a beautiful restaurant. They've been very good for us. ElmoRestaurant.com. You can go there. In just a few minutes, we're going to be doing the worldwide premiere of the new Public Enemy song. Very excited about that. It's called Hell No, We Ain't All Right. Looking forward to that. Chuck D, let us do that for him.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Chuck.
And this is the original Public Enemy. This is with Flavor Flav. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
And right here sitting beside me is comedian Misha Wolf, who I've outed as my wife. She is going to be in Vancouver the weekend of the 23rd and 24th at the Vancouver Comedy Festival.
Yeah, very exciting.
It's very exciting. You know what I really want you to share with the people is that charming story that happened to you.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Good one.
Okay, well, I guess it was like last week, and I was parking my car outside of this donut shop. I was in L.A., and I put my laptop in the back of the car, and I noticed this homeless guy sitting in front of the donut shop, so I go to give him a dollar because him and I are the only ones that know where my laptop is. Yeah. And I go up to give him a dollar, and I start to notice that his pants look kind of nicer than I thought at first, you know? And, like, his shoes look too expensive for him to be really homeless, and I start freaking out a little bit. Like, I'm already in the gesture of giving money. There's no going back now. You know, and he looks up and says, "What? A black man can't sit in front of a donut shop without people thinking he's homeless?" And I'm like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I completely misunderstood. And he goes, "Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm homeless." Psych.
Yeah.
You know, we got a minute. We're not going up into Seattle anymore in a proper time slot because of the forces out of my control with red hair. And but your folks were up there, and we were just up there.
We went to the family reunion, and I'm in Vancouver. Actually, I have this little cousin, Katie, who was there, and Katie's one of those kids I always thought was a little spoiled. You know, like she always got whatever she wanted and stuff like that. And, like, I remember at that reunion, Katie was in my dad's hot tub, and I said to her, "Katie, your mom wants you to get out of the hot tub." And Katie was like, "My mommy's drunk." And I was like, "Well, Katie, whether your mom's drunk or not, it's still time for you to get out of the hot tub." And she looked me right in the eye and said, "She scares me." And so I had to sit her down and explain to her, "Katie, your mommy drinks because you're bad." Because why should everything be perfect for Katie, right? No, I would never.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I would.
So you're a Public Enemy fan, Wolf? I know you are.
I am. I remember Burn, Hollywood Burn. That was my first Public Enemy song, and it was right around the time Hollywood Shuffle came out.
Yeah,
you know? Oh, yeah.
And so it was like all this stuff about how blacks are portrayed in Hollywood, and not much has changed there, but
yeah,
I like the song.
All right, well, here's a new one about what's going on in the world right now. This is Public Enemy's new song. It's the worldwide premiere. It's called Hell No, We Ain't Right, and I'll tell you where the money for the song is going after this, so enjoy Public Enemy, Hell No, We Ain't All Right.
People are dying. They don't have homes. They don't have jobs. The city of New Orleans will never be the same. Now get off your asses and let's do something. And let's fix the biggest damn crisis in the history of this country.
Because it gotta come down to this. In order to see things for what they are, for what it is. We still might not be free up in this piece or treated very equally as far as I can see. Now, if you saw what I saw and see what I see on that TV, it led me to write this song after talking to my father. But the anger in this song seemed to write his damn self. Hell no, we ain't all right.
What is boy, son of a bush?
nerding.
It's simple. It's racial.
Now all these press conferences, breaking news alerts, this just in. While your government looks for war to win. Blame for the blame game, names where I begin. Walls closing and get some help to my kin. Who cares? While the rest of the Bush nation stands as the drama unfolds as we the people under the stands. 50% of this son of a Bush nation is like hating on Haiti and setting up assassinations. Ask Pat Robinson, quiz him.
Smells like terrorism.
Racism in the news, still one-sided views. Saying white's fine food. Pray for the National Guard who be ready to shoot. Because they be saying us blacks
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no,
we ain't alright.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no,
we ain't alright.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no,
we ain't alright.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
Now them fires, earthquakes, tsunamis, I don't mean to scare. Wasn't this written somewhere? Disgrace is all I be seeing is hurting black faces. Moved out to all them faraway places. Emergency state corpses, alligators, and snakes. Big difference between this haze and the diamond and the BMAs. You better look what's really important all under the sun. Especially if you're over 21. This ain't no TV show, ain't no video.
This is really real.
Beyond them same old people real. Folks from the TV stars driving big red cars. Streets be blood beat. No matter where you at, no gas. Driving is a luxury urgency. Don't y'all know? They said it's a state of emergency. So somebody's government is far from reality. Somebody's government is far from reality.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, or night.
Hell no.
Down there. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is a national disaster.
Any way you look at it, it's a tragedy.
It's awful down here, man. God is looking down on all this, and if they are not doing everything in their power to save people, they are going to pay the price.
Now I see we be the new faces of refugees who ain't even overseas but stuck here on our knees. Look at the plasma TV, ain't electricity. New world's upside down. Out of order. Show the food, what's up, Joe?
What's up? Where's the water?
No answers from disaster, the masses be hurting.
So what it is?
They call Halliburton. Son of a Bush, how you gonna just trust that cat? The fix when all that help is stuck in Iraq. Making war plans, taking more stands in Afghanistan. 2,000 soldiers there dying in the sand. But that's over there, right? What's over here?
What's
the noise so loud, some of y'all can't hear. But on TV, I know that I can see.
Yeah,
bunches of people looking just like me.
Yo, wait, yo, what?
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright.
Mississippi in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright.
Alabama in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright.
USA in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. We definitely ain't alright.
Some of y'all voted for that cat. That's right, well, God given, sometime your country taketh away. I'ma see y'all at the Millions More March. 10th year anniversary of the Million Man March. That's right, the minister gonna drop it. That's right, Farrakhan. Yeah. And many of our people and organizations all getting together now in Washington, D.C. October 16th, y'all. Now, we got all those issues to talk about. We got more issues to talk about now, y'all.
Yeah.
Better yet, ideas to listen to and spread.
Yeah.
One Love, coming from Public Enemy. Number one, y'all. Public Enemy 2005. Public Enemy 2006. Public Enemy 2007.
Let me tell y'all something. All of our hearts is out there with y'all, you know what I'm saying? And we're sending trucks, we're sending boats, boxes, and cans of soup, and everything. Clothes and all of that, shoes. We donate everything to y'all, you know what I'm saying? Don't worry, y'all ain't by yourself. You need to know that.
There you go. That's there you go. Public Enemy's new song, Hell No, We Ain't All Right. It's only available online at Real Networks. You can go to Real.com to download. 43 past the hour. Proceeds benefit the 21st Century Foundation, a group that has been serving black communities for 35 years, which has set up a special fund for the poorest and neediest victims of Hurricane Katrina. To donate to the 21st Century Foundation, go to www.21cf.org. That's a great song.
Great song.
Sounds like just old school Public Enemy, man.
I love the beat.
Chuck,
I mean, aside from what he says, the beat is just it's really nice.
He is a deep dude. My friend Mishna Wolf and wife Mishna Wolf will be appearing at the Vancouver Comedy Festival.
It's good to be both.
September 23rd and 24th up there in Vancouver. Thank you for coming down. We'll discuss it all day after. We got the Wiggle Agenda. We got the liberal agenda coming up, and we also want to talk a little bit about all those people out there hopped up on ADD drugs. So stay with us. It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil. In 3 hours or less, Air America Radio.
Good morning. We're going to land this thing. We're broadcasting live from Elmo Restaurant. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo.
The show is Morning Sedition. Elmo Restaurant has been tremendously good to us. You can go to ElmoRestaurant.com and check that out. Next Friday, we're going to be in Washington, D.C., September 23rd at the XM Studios down there hosting Cindy Sheehan and whoever wants to go from up here. You're going to have to get tickets. You got to go to MorningSedition.com to win a free pair of those. I'm looking forward to D.C. I haven't really toured D.C. too much. I've only been there once or twice.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, actually, just the buildings and the sort of weird bigness of it. Unfortunately, there's an idiot in office, but nonetheless, the massiveness of D.C. And by the way, folks, Bush's poll numbers on any average are down around 38% to 40%.
Yeah.
And if we can, I would like to keep them that low, if not lower, if that's possible with your help.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. And the reason I'm bringing this up, and I just thought of this just now. You know, I watched President Bush speak. I watched him last night in front of the church and in front of Andrew Jackson trying to look like a pious man as opposed to the wrath of God, which he is.
Sure.
I start to, I get very hung up on the way his jaw twitches, because I know from my own experience with drugs that the jaw twitching can only mean one thing. And I don't think it's blow. I think that because the pharmaceutical industry owned part of his family, that he's on some sort of high-octane cocktail that they've designed specifically for the president.
Uh-oh.
To add, they're trying to make him look like he cares about things.
Can we get some of that?
I'm sure we could, Riley, because listen to this. Harkening back to the days of Benny's, Reds, and Trucker Speed.
Uh-oh.
Attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder drugs like Ritalin, Concerta, Adderall are in high usage by adults, the highest ever. Now, of course, the pharmaceutical industry is thrilled and says it's great that people are realizing they're sick and there's treatments. Treatments for diseases they've invented. Now, of course, critics in the medical community are concerned because these drugs are usually stimulants and can make people emotionally unstable, depressed, irritable, less social, obsessive, but man, can they focus, Riley. I'm telling you, these people can focus.
You know what this is?
Talk about trimming those unwanted pounds. Woo! Come on, man.
Well, that's exactly what it's all about. On the one hand, they sell cosmetics to men because women, they've tapped out. And on this level, they've tapped out all the kids with these mind-altering drugs. So why not sell a few to adults?
A new generation of speed freaks.
Yeah.
All right. And the weird thing is 170% in a four-year period, the rise of 170% was down in Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi, or what I like to call the OxyContin belt.
Uh-oh.
So now it's sort of like, now they could go up and down.
They ran out of Sour Mash in those places? Or
I'm sure that's part of it, man. OxyContin, Ritalin, and Sour Mash, that's an evening, or 4 or 5 days.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk. When Katrina was unfolding, Dan Pashman and Brendan P.W. McDonald took over the helm and did a marvelous job. Not only dealing with the disaster, but infusing way too much football into the show.
Uh-oh.
Which, of course, is any.
Don't rub it in, man. I'm trying to get on board. But I think I just, Oh, here we go. Now, why don't you talk about the new...
we better turn that down a little. I can't
hear. Right. That's Dan Pashman's music. The New Orleans Saints will play their home opener here in Giant Stadium in New Jersey.
Right.
And this is a gesture on behalf of the city of New York and New Jersey, I suppose, to reach out to people, to victims of the hurricane, and also just to make them feel like, you know, people care. They're actually bringing in 600 displaced New Orleans residents. We're going to be flown in by relief agencies to go to the game.
It's true. This game was supposed to take place in New Orleans, and obviously because of the state of the Superdome, they weren't able to play there, won't be able to play there the whole season. And this game is going to be against the Giants at the Giants' home stadium this Monday night. They have a special Monday night doubleheader this Monday night that's going to be raising money for victims of the hurricane. And I actually got an email last night from a friend of mine who works, my friend Eddie, who works from the NFL Players Association, or used to, that apparently, you know, they put these tickets to this special Giants-Saints game on sale to the general public, but normally you can't get Giants tickets. It's
nope.
It's a 25-year waiting list to get season tickets.
So I know. You don't tell me about it. I've been on there for... I'm just waiting. If I wasn't on that list, I'd be going every game.
Yeah, yeah. No, seriously.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. But, because I think because a lot of people just assume that you can't get tickets, they don't realize that there are actually 20 or 25,000 tickets still available to this Monday night Giants-Saints game here in New York. And I want to encourage people to go out and buy tickets, not only because it's a rare opportunity to see a Giants game, a regular season Giants game, when ordinarily you got to wait 25 years for tickets, but also because the proceeds from the game are going to benefit victims of the hurricane, which obviously is a good cause. So you're doing two great things in one night. It's a 7:30 game in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So go to Ticketmaster, go to Giants.com, get those tickets, and try to sell out the place.
You know what I'm going to do? I am going to call... Yeah, one hand clapping.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to,
one football fan in the audience.
I didn't mean to hijack the applause break.
Right, there you go.
But I think I'm going to call Kyan Douglas and ask him if he wants to go to the game.
Yeah. Well, those pants are awful tight.
Yeah, but no, just as a friend thing, you know, I thought it'd be good just to, if I'm going to take in, you know, football, I think I want him there with me.
Friends do that together. It's okay.
Male bonding, huh?
But they've got some amazing musicians coming out to perform at this game
right.
Specifically. Harry Connick is going to be there.
Yeah.
Branford Marsalis is going to be there. A lot of people, you know, these are New Orleans musicians coming up to show their support. The only downside, I think, and that's just because I am who I am, is that I think Bush is going to be there to flip the coin.
Oh, no, not that. No, you know who is flipping the coin? I think the police commissioner. Chief.
But Bush is in it. It's like this joint, coin flipping. And if I know Bush, he'll have the two-headed. One, you know,
yeah,
for
right. Heads I win, tails you lose.
Yeah, that's it.
But
that's
I believe, and I'm not positive about this, so I could be wrong, but the other Monday night game is Cowboys Redskins, and my guess is that Bush will be in D.C. Hopefully. You know, we sure as hell don't want him here in New York.
Oh.
All right, well, there's the that's the sound of the fax machine from the Streisand compound. Here's this week's liberal agenda for you liberal marching soldiers. One, sign up Britney Spears' new baby for the awareness group Celebrity Infants Against the War. Two, play the blame game. Play hard, play to win.
There you go.
Three, criticize Kanye West for saying that George Bush doesn't care about black people. To be fair to the president, he doesn't care about most white people either. Four, have special Mardi Gras with giant float of George Bush, Michael Chertoff, and Michael Brown, then burn it in effigy. Five, since we're not sure what we think of John Roberts, find out what religious conservatives are saying about him, then indignantly claim the opposite. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. John Roberts will be the youngest Chief Justice in 200 years. Wake up, sheeple. You don't age when you're made in a lab. Roberts doesn't need food or sleep. Hey, you know... I want to thank everyone here at Elmo. We got Peter Smith, Trent Henry, Jeff McGovern, and Bob Pontarelli.
Yeah.
You can go to ElmoRestaurant.com. Oh, a standing ovation. Wonderful. And, of course, our Morning Sedition crew, David, Matt, the two Matts, Emmerich and Yanni, Lucy, Terry, Chip, Juan, Gerald, and Kayla Riley. Great show, man. Next week, we got Rick Ocasek. I think it's Ocasek. I just can't believe I just burped into the mic. Rick Ocasek from the Cars. Who else we got?
We got director Norman Jewison and Air America's own Kyle Jason, a great musician.
Great show, Riley.
Great show.
See you in D.C. next week.
Out. See you next week. It's Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on